This is Jean Marie Laskus with the podcast Cement City. So there's this election coming up, a big one, and one guy's been indicted. People are talking voter fraud. Democracy itself is on the line. Sound familiar? Well, this isn't that election. This one is in Denora, Pennsylvania, a dying town in the middle of nowhere, where I bought a house and stayed for 3 years. Listen to and follow Cement City, an Odyssey original podcast in partnership with Cement City Productions, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the station you turn to first for live team coverage of breaking news. 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk.
Good morning, 6 o'clock. This is the KNSS Morning News with Steve and Ted. I'm Steve McIntosh. We have a clear sky now and 50 degrees. Authorities along Florida's Gulf Coast say most people have evacuated out of flood-prone zones in advance of Hurricane Milton, but not everyone.
Many people have left the Florida Gulf Coast for higher ground, though first responders are staying behind to get to work after.
We were hit by Ian, not hammered. This is going to be a hammer, I feel like, in this circumstance.
Charlie Thorpe is the police chief in Venice, Florida, near Sarasota, where the city water system is turned off. In Bradenton, Mayor Gene Brown knows there are people who didn't leave.
It's been heartbreaking to go out there and dealing with people, and especially 85-year-old Joanne, who wouldn't leave her trailer.
In Broward County, Florida, Evan Brown, Fox News.
The International Association of Machinists and Aerospace Workers announced Tuesday night that Textron Aviation has agreed to meet with them Thursday. The strike at Textron Aviation in Wichita is now in its third week. A Wichita man died after crashing his Corvette into a tree in southeast Wichita Monday in the 2000 block of South Delrose. The 56-year-old driver was eastbound when he left the road, hit a curb, and crashed into a tree. He died at a hospital. His name has not been released. The Wichita City Council has approved funding for the design of four road and bridge projects in 2025.
They include 127th Street East from Douglas to 13th Street North, 21st Street North from St. Teresa to 119th Street West, Webb Road from Central to 13th Street North, and the First Street Bridge over the Arkansas River. Paul Gunzelman with Public Works detailed the plans for 127th Street East.
We will have the consultant look at a three-lane facility with on-street bike lanes that is similar to what has been improved on 127th Street north of 13th Street. And we will also make connections there north of Central to the K96 bike path.
The projects will also include drainage improvements and aesthetic enhancements. And all the designs will cost the city $4.22 million. Rodney Price, KNSS News.
Enrollment for Wichita Public Schools is up. The first year for statewide open enrollment shows just over 13,500 high school students, a 20-year high for Wichita. District spokesperson Susan Ironsman says the open enrollment is not having a major impact on those numbers.
We do know that we had 67 students who went through that open enrollment process that we have this year. But as I've said before, we have hundreds that from outside the district who come every year.
The district is also seeing an increase in elementary students for the first time since the pandemic. An Afghan national has been arrested by the FBI and charged for conspiring to conduct an Election Day terrorist attack in the U.S.
The Justice Department charging Nasir Ahmad Tahedi with conspiring and attempting to provide material support to ISIS and of obtaining firearms and ammunition to conduct a violent attack on U.S. soil in the name of ISIS. The 27-year-old, who is a citizen of Afghanistan, has been living in Oklahoma City. Officials say he and a juvenile were arrested in Oklahoma after unknowingly meeting with FBI assets to purchase two AK-47 assault rifles, 10 magazines, and 500 rounds of ammunition. According to the complaint, he later confirmed the attack was planned for Election Day, aimed at targeting large crowds during which he and the juvenile were expected to die as martyrs. Kristen Goodwin, Fox News.
KNSS News Time now, 6:04, 4 minutes past 6 o'clock. The KNSS Morning News now, 6:07, 7 minutes past 6 o'clock. Sedgwick County Commission Chair Ryan Beatty tells KNSS News the water situation across the state has reached a crisis level. He says it's not only the drought, but also pollution.
Most people aren't aware that we have over 200 contamination sites in Sedgwick County alone that are active, over 200. And most people aren't aware of that. I wasn't aware of that until I got into office. So there's just a lot of conversations around water. It's top of mind right now for people, and I think we should seize the opportunity to have some momentum.
Ryan Beatty commented during his weekly appearance with Steve and Ted in the Morning on KNSS. Vice President Kamala Harris appeared on The View Tuesday. As a part of her campaign media blitz, Fox's Matt Finn reports.
Former President Trump and critics of the vice president say the Biden administration did great harm to our country on issues like foreign policy, the economy, and of course, immigration. Well, on The View, Harris was asked if there is anything she might have done differently than her boss. Former President Trump posting to X, lying Kamala, who is being exposed as a dummy every time she does a show, just stated to the degenerates on The View that she would have done nothing different than crooked Joe Biden. Her dumbest answer so far. Now, Harris later backtracked and told The View host one thing she would do different than Joe Biden is that she would have at least one Republican in her cabinet.
The vice president continues to lead the former president by 2 points nationally. That's according to the latest Real Clear Politics polling average. A federal judge in Alabama hears testimony about two executions by nitrogen gas and apparent problems with the method.
Attorneys for an inmate scheduled to die next month want to block what would be the state's third execution with nitrogen gas and are calling for changes to protocol. The method's humaneness is being debated as media witnesses say the two inmates administered the gas shook on the gurney for 2 minutes, followed by signs of labored breathing for several minutes. The Alabama Corrections Commissioner testified that he's not concerned over the way the executions unfolded, adding that these reactions are to be expected based on his research. Tom Rigotti, Fox News.
A brawl at an Alabama high school football game results in the quarterback being dismissed and his father charged.
The fight between parents, not students, broke out after the game. Two Citronville football parents are charged with disorderly conduct following the wild brawl after the team's 14-7 win over UMS Wright. The son of one of the men, the quarterback, can be seen on video running into the stands to join in the fisticuffs. He's been removed from the roster and suspended from school. Gary Baumgarten, Fox News.
KNSS News Time, 6:10. 10 minutes past 6 o'clock.
Cordell and Cordell traffic cameras show that the traffic conditions this morning on the highways are actually looking pretty good out there. Now, I did see a spot of some fairly heavy traffic out there right around Broadway and Murdoch. That's in more or less each direction there, and then not too far away from that area. Some really heavy traffic northbound on Moseley approaching 13th Street. Very heavy traffic. Traffic update from 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. I'm Jed Chambers.
Now the forecast with meteorologist Ron L. Williams.
Turning warmer for your Wednesday as a southeast breeze turns stronger, getting up to 10 to 20 miles an hour under mostly sunny skies, and after a cool start this morning, up to a high of 86 degrees. Pretty warm for this time of year. With your Storm Track 3 forecast, I'm meteorologist Ron L. Williams.
Now a clear sky, not much wind, east at 3 miles per hour. 52 degrees at Wichita Severe Weather Station, 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. Steve and Ted in the Morning. Good morning, Ted Woodward.
Hello there.
Steve and Ted Show number 6,778. And I'm celebrating by having a nice, steamy, hot cup of Prairie Fire coffee.
Well,
that's
I mean,
even a way to celebrate.
Well, yeah. What'd you say the temp was? I mean, it's
52.
Yeah, I mean, you might as well have a nice cup of coffee going. That's
52.
Yeah, you're right there.
Today is Wednesday, October 9th. After a cloudy beginning, another sunny day across South Central Kansas. Tuesday, Wichita's high temperature was 80 degrees. Normal high for the date is 74. And we had a trace of precipitation measured at Eisenhower Airport early in the day.
Yeah, don't think any of that made it over to the east side.
Mm. On this date in 2021, Wichita crushed its record high of 92, set back in 1921, 100 years before that. And then again in 1963 with a new record, 96 degrees. That was the high on this date in 2021. The high was just 1 degree shy of the all-time record high for October. This also marked the latest day of the year in which Wichita reached a temperature above 95. 2021. And on this date in 2009, President Barack Obama won the Nobel Peace Prize for what the Norwegian Nobel Committee called his extraordinary efforts to strengthen international diplomacy and cooperation between peoples. 2009. Well, a few airports in Florida began closing and airlines canceled hundreds of flights Tuesday ahead of Hurricane Milton's arrival. Government officials from President Joe Biden on down warning companies not to overcharge people fleeing from the storm's path. Airlines defended their actions, some saying they had imposed fare caps in the last couple of days. Now, by mid-afternoon yesterday on the East Coast, airlines had canceled more than 700 U.S. flights, compared with fewer than 200 cancellations Monday and fewer than 100 each of two previous days. That's according to FlightAware Tracking Service. Well, makes sense. Who wants to try to take off and land in the middle of a hurricane with the winds blowing more than 100 miles per hour? For some residents of storm-prone southeastern states, the best indicator of a hurricane's severity can be found at the local Waffle House. If the Georgia-based restaurant chain stays open in town, neighbors are reassured that the coming storm is unlikely to cause devastation.
Mm.
A closed location of the dependable diner chain has come to indicate impending disaster. What might sound like silly logic has become one of the most reliable ways for Southerners and even federal officials to gauge a storm's severity and identify communities most in need of immediate aid. The Waffle House Index was created by a federal emergency management official. It's still used today. Apparently, the federal government looks at the Waffle House is open. We can probably make it through here. Wow. Interesting. Steve at 10 in the morning here, 6:14, and talked about the Prairie Fire Coffee. Today is the 9th day of October. Yeah, I think we've covered everything up until now. A little bit later on this morning, we're going to hear from Eben Brown from the Fox Network. That'll be in the 8 o'clock hour. He'll give us an update of what's going on with the hurricane that's supposed to hit the land sometime today or this afternoon, maybe this evening. We've been talking about it for several days. So the one good thing is you have plenty of warning on this thing. And they're saying now when it hits the land, it's probably going to ratchet down to like a Category 3 or 2 or something like that. But and then it'll go across the state of Florida, right near Tampa there. Wow. I guess Disney World's been open, but probably not open today.
I heard they're shutting down early this afternoon.
Okay. Those people are not dumb. They've been through this before.
Oh, yeah.
Let's see. Oh, good news this morning. I don't know if you heard this top of the hour, but Textron machinists are saying they and the company have agreed to start talking about a contract tomorrow.
Mm.
So the strike that's been now in its third week, maybe there's a hope that they'll get something solved and then go back to work. I think everybody wants that to happen, especially those people who are the vendors and people who are contract people who are suppliers to Textron. I'm sure they want it to go. Let's get back to work.
Yeah, guys. Let's get this thing moving again.
Yeah. It's coming up on 6:16, Steve at 10 in the morning here on this Wednesday morning. Let's go ahead and take a look at leadoff sports with Ted Woodward, Ted.
All right, after a travel day, we are back to Royals baseball tonight in the playoffs. It is game 3 of this best-of-5 series between the Royals and the number one team in the league, the New York Yankees. This best-of-5 series is tied at 1 game apiece. So tonight, it'll be the first postseason game in Kauffman Stadium in 9 years.
Ooh.
Been a while since the World Series in 2015. Starting for the Royals tonight, gotta like this, Seth Lugo, all-star with his 16 wins and his 3.0 earned run average. And the Yankees are playing a postseason game in KC for the first time in 44 years. It's been a while.
Yeah.
And so you take a look at, you know, the Yankees won game 1 in a game that featured 5 or 6 lead changes. And then the Royals came back and beat the Yankees in game 2, 4-2 the other night. Interesting take from Yankees third baseman Jazz Chisholm on the Yankees losing game 2 on the YES Network.
Still feels the same that we're going to win it, you know. I don't feel like anybody feels any different, you know. We're going to go out there and do our thing still. We still don't feel like any team is better than us. Like you said, we had a lot of missed opportunities tonight, so they just got lucky.
Okay.
So the Royals just got lucky.
I don't think that's
holding the Yankees to 2 runs and beating them in Yankee Stadium.
It's kind of being kind of cocky there, bud.
Sounds like it. coming off a loss. Yeah. All right.
Better not let George Brett hear that.
Yeah, we'll see how the Royals respond to that comment tonight. Yeah. There you go. The Yankees and the Royals, game three of that series is tonight. Live coverage for Royals baseball at 5:30 p.m. First pitch at 6:08 p.m. And that is live on 97.5 and 1240 KFH. Interesting. Let's take a look at some other Major League Baseball. Game three over in the National League yesterday. The San Diego Padres hosting the Los Angeles Dodgers. And the Padres erupted in the bottom of the second inning. And look who it is again doing damage. David Peralta, the former Wichita Wingnut. The action on FS1.
It's ground ball down the line and a fair ball for Peralta. Padres have taken the lead. One run is in. Here comes another. Lux will hang on to it. A two-run double from David Peralta. And the veteran role player has been so much more than that in this division series.
Well, right down the line. And Freddie gave it a great effort, but he hit it too hard. And this inning, which really could be almost over, doesn't have an out.
37-year-old former Wichita Wingnut David Peralta killing the Dodgers, his former team. The Padres scored six runs in the bottom of the second and held on to beat the Dodgers 6-5. Padres lead the Dodgers 2-1 in that best-of-five series. It's also pretty intriguing. Some not-so-good news off the field for the Kansas City Chiefs, as we now know that wide receiver Rashee Rice is out for the season.
Ooh, really?
Yeah, of course, he banged his knee on that against Patrick Mahomes' helmet on that interception, and then... Rashee Rice has now had surgery on his right knee. LCL surgery is out for the year.
And he was playing very well.
He was having a great early season. And now he's gone. All right, for the year. College men's golf, Wichita State wins the third annual Greer Jones Shocker Invitational at Sand Creek Station up in Newton. Shocks were the best of the 14 teams, winning by four strokes over runner-up Incarnate Word. And that'll end the fall season for Shocker men's golf. Good way to end it with a win at the Shocker Invitational. Hey, if you want to see some pretty high-ranking soccer, you might want to check out Friends University tonight. Friends women and men are both hosting Top 10 Oklahoma Wesleyan. It starts out at 5 p.m. with the Friends women hosting 9th-ranked Oklahoma Wesleyan. Both teams are undefeated in the conference. Friends has won 5 in a row. Wesleyan has won 8 in a row.
How about
that?
That'll
be a great soccer game at 5 p.m. And then after that, the men's matchup, Friends hosting 4th-ranked Oklahoma Wesleyan. Wesleyan men coming in on an 8-game winning streak. Friends men have won back-to-back. So I'll see some good soccer on the west side tonight. Friends hosting Oklahoma Wesleyan. A couple of top 10 teams coming into town to take on Friends. And I know you're going to like this birthday today, Steve. Freddie Hotek, the former Kansas City Royals shortstop, is 80 years old today.
He's one of my favorites.
I know he is.
Love that guy.
Played for the Pirates, the Royals, and the Angels. 5'5", shortest player during his era. Drafted by the Pirates in the 22nd round. Boy, he turned a pretty good career out of that, didn't he? Traded to the Royals by the Pirates.
Yeah.
And, boy, the Royals used him to great advantage throughout just about the entire decade of the 1970s.
Hooked up with Cookie Rojas for a while there. Then Frank White for a little bit.
Yep. In his first season with the Royals, Freddie Hotek hit for the cycle. He led the American League in triples, finished 6th in MVP voting. Pretty good.
Who says you have to be 8 feet tall?
I know. Three straight All-Star selections, a staple of the Royals lineup, led the league in stolen bases in 1977. Led the American League in double plays 4 straight years. Double plays turned out in the field. Starting shortstop for the American League in the 1978 All-Star Game.
Pretty good ball
player. Heck of a player. Freddie Hotek, the former Royals shortstop. He is 80 years old today. It's his birthday. That's Sports with Steve and Ted, brought to you by Bel Air Recovery Center. Proud to serve veterans that served our nation. Located in Northeast Wichita. Bel Air Recovery Center improves the lives they touch.
Keep it in for Dr. Sanjay Gupta. Empathy is contagious. All right. It's coming up. Steve and Ted in the morning here on KNSS.
Wichita's nationally recognized Marconi awarded radio show. This is Steve and Tad on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS.
Good morning, Steve McIntosh, Ted Woodward, 6:30 on a Wednesday morning, 52 degrees. Floridians are heeding evacuation orders as Hurricane Milton barrels toward the Sunshine State. Fox Weather's Steve Bender is in Lido Key, Florida with the latest.
We're looking at storm surge up to 15 feet where I am, and this area is still recovering from Helene. Shutters are up. Each one of these businesses has been completely gutted because of that storm surge from Helene or boarded up. Many of these businesses didn't come back to take anything down because they're bracing now for Milton. Everywhere on this island, Lido, which is a barrier island, has just been completely decimated from Helene. We're expecting twice as bad of an impact from Milton. Storm surge up to 15 feet. A lot of people here on Lido Island, they're gone. We're the only ones here. The sheriff has made sure of that. So everybody listening to the evacuations, and that's a good thing because this thing's a monster.
President Biden has approved an emergency declaration for Florida. FEMA has almost 900 staff members in the region and has stocked two staging areas with 20 million meals and 40 million liters of water.
The Wichita City Council approving a design contract for improvements to the west bank of the Arkansas River between Douglas and Waterman.
The designs will include a seawall and landscape enhancements. The council thus far has approved over $562,000 in design costs. Airfield improvements are coming to Jubera Airport. WSU Tech's National Center for Aviation Training has received a grant for additional airfield pavement at the facility. Because the bid was favorable, the project size was increased, which will allow for additional apron work and the associated grading and drainage. This will allow the future development of a dedicated maintenance hangar at the site. Rodney Price, KNSS News.
Sedgwick County Commission Chair Ryan Beatty tells KNSS News the water situation across the state has reached a crisis level. He says it's not only the drought, but also pollution. And he says there are 200 water pollution sites around Wichita and Sedgwick County.
Over 200. And most of these are from dry cleaners and former gas stations. In some of these areas, the one at 29th and Grove was actually from United or the Pacific Railroad and the degreaser that they used to use to clean off the railroad cars, and a big spill that happened there. That was 40 years ago, and the citizens of that community had no idea that it took place and it leaked into the groundwater.
Beatty says public education, conservation, and innovation are needed. Ryan Beatty commented during his weekly appearance with Steve and Ted in the Morning on KNSS.
Parts of Kansas are getting a boost when it comes to internet access. A smart pole was installed in Medicine Lodge, first step in making improvements. SC Telecom General Manager Carla Shearer says the pole will provide free high-speed internet within a 10-mile radius.
Making sure that the folks that are in the very remote areas have the opportunity to connect.
And the state of Kansas will offer grant applications beginning on October 21st to expand high-speed internet coverage.
A sweeping new gun law faces another challenge in Massachusetts.
Just a week after Massachusetts Governor Maura Healey fast-tracked implementation of the new law, opponents say they have enough petition signatures to send a proposed repeal to voters on the 2026 ballot. The new law's many provisions include a crackdown on privately made ghost guns and expansion of the state's red flag law. It also criminalizes possession of devices that make a semi-automatic weapon fire more rapidly. Opponents say it infringes on Second Amendment rights. Gun rights advocates also filing a federal lawsuit and pointing to a Supreme Court decision that citizens have a right to carry a gun in public for self-defense. That 2022 ruling helped spur the new Massachusetts law. Lisa Brady, Fox News.
A new book coming out next week alleges phone calls between two of the most powerful men in the world.
The book by journalist Bob Woodward is called War. And it reports that former President Trump has had as many as 7 private phone calls with Russian President Vladimir Putin since leaving office. Furthermore, that Trump secretly sent COVID-19 test machines to President Putin in 2020. The book, due out next week, also alleges that earlier this year, the former president told an aide to leave his office at Mar-a-Lago so he could have a private call with Putin. A spokesman for the Trump campaign says the book is full of made-up stories. John Saucier, Fox News.
Now the forecast with meteorologist Ronnell Williams.
Turning warmer for your Wednesday as a southeast breeze turns stronger, getting up to 10 to 20 miles an hour under mostly sunny skies, and after a cool start this morning, up to a high of 86 degrees. Pretty warm for this time of year. With your Storm Track 3 forecast, I'm meteorologist Ronnell Williams.
Currently a clear sky, 52 degrees, at Wichita Severe Weather Station, 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. Stephen, 10 in the morning, October 9th, on this date in 2010, a drill broke through into an underground chamber where 33 Chilean miners had been trapped for more than 2 months. Ooh. Remember that story, Ted?
Oh, yeah.
Quite a story. They were down there way below the surface for 2 months. A decade after the Flint, Michigan water crisis raised alarms about the continuing dangers of lead in tap water, President Joe Biden Tuesday set a 10-year deadline for cities across the nation to replace their lead pipes, finalizing an aggressive approach aimed at ensuring that drinking water is safe for all Americans. Biden announced the final Environmental Protection Agency rule during a visit to the swing state of Wisconsin in the final month of a tight presidential campaign. And the announcement highlights an issue, safe drinking water, that Kamala Harris has prioritized as vice president and during her presidential campaign. Of course, we just had a story on with Ryan Beatty, Sedgwick County Commission Chair. He said he's just, it's really dawning on him. And actually, he's realizing what a big deal water is. He thought it was before, but he's finding out once he got in office, there's a lot of pollution in the groundwater around the area, and it's precious. We got to start figuring out how to, we can't make it rain, but we can figure out ways to conserve what we've got. Anyway, water, a big issue. I don't thought it was a big for us. I don't know how it is with the rest of the people out there. We were, of course, we got the hurricane. The hurricane season, by the way, it goes till the end of November.
Yeah, it's, so we've had a ways to go.
What, a couple, two or maybe three already?
Well, it's Milton, so this is our 13th hurricane.
13th. All right. But this, yeah, okay. It's the alphabetical order on it. This one's going to apparently be, as a guy said a while ago, going to be a monster. And we're just thinking about, of course, I'm an old movie buff. I love, as my grandkids say, black and white movies.
Shelley, I do too.
And one of my favorites is Key Largo.
I'm right with you.
We got Humphrey Bogart.
What a great movie.
Lauren Bacall, Barrymore, and Edward G. Robinson as Rocco.
Yeah, and Claire Trevor won an Oscar for her role.
Song.
John Huston directed it, and it's just a powerhouse movie.
These gangsters from Milwaukee are going to trade some counterfeit money down there, meet some guys. They get stuck in this little hotel on Key Largo.
Yeah, they all get stuck in this little place during a hurricane. Yeah, and it's pretty powerful.
It's a terrific movie.
Yeah.
If you haven't ever seen Key Largo, it's hurricane season. You might as well
see it. Yeah, that's very appropriate.
All right, 6:38, Steve at 10 in the morning here on KNSS. And it's time for the KNSS Commodities Update with Mr. Tom Loeffler of Loeffler Commodities. Good morning, Tom.
Well, good morning, Steve and Ted. Tuesday, the cattle complex traded up and down and closed on the positive side. Now, the live cattle and feeder cattle futures made new highs for the current move to the upside. The feeders enjoyed triple-digit gains yesterday. Now, technical and managed money buying again helped lift the cattle complex into those new highs. News-wise, it was very quiet for the cattle other than the selling that took place in the grain and the soybean futures. Now, lean hogs had two-sided trading. Some contracts made new highs for the move, and they all closed positive. Yesterday's close saw December live cattle 85 cents higher, 187.87. November feeders $1.15 higher, 250.30. And December lean hogs were up 35 cents at 77.17. Now, harvest pressure helped Tuesday to push the corn and the soybeans lower, and they closed negative also. Weather improvement in Brazil and was also negative for our soybean futures. Now, the wheat futures traded mixed and closed slightly on the positive side, and this morning we're seeing a little recovery across the board in our grain markets. December Kansas City wheat is now 9 cents higher at 6.12¾. December corn 2½ higher at 4.23 even. November beans up 5¾ at 10.22. November crude oil down 44 cents at 73.13. December gold's up $1.90 at 2637.40. December S&P 4½ points lower at 5796. December dollar index 9 cents higher, 102.39. In December, Dow Jones futures are down 41 points at 42,334. For commodity trading, ag marketing, or managed trading programs, contact Lester Commodities on the phone or on the web by using 866-GO-TO-TOM.
Tom, have you ever had the experience of being in a hurricane or around a hurricane?
Never even been close to one.
Oh, have you ever been to Florida?
No.
Okay.
No. No, and I have no intentions of going down there. Too hot and humid.
And too many people. And too many great
yes.
giant snakes. Those pythons. Well, I'll tell you, you're talking about straight winds blasting around for hours at a time of over 100 miles an hour. And it just, and water everywhere. Ooh, I'm with you. I'd stay out of there. But, my son, Scott, lived in Pensacola when he was was in the service. They lived there for 3 years. I talked to him the other day. They didn't have a major cane while he was there.
Okay.
But, he showed me places where they were rebuilding after mm-hmm. the last one. But, that's something you wouldn't want to mess with. But, here we are. Our storms are powerful, but brief. Tom, at least they're gone. Now, we had a little bit of rain to the southeast of here, of Wichita, yesterday. Did you see anything in Butler County at all?
Not a thing.
Nothing, huh? Wow.
No.
All right. I guess we still could have some rain tomorrow. Let's keep our fingers crossed, okay?
I think our chances are pretty slim.
They're pretty slim, but the National Weather Service is putting a little percentage on them, so we'll see.
just teasing us, Steve. Yeah.
Could be. All right, Tom, thank you, sir. We'll check with you tomorrow morning. That's Tom Leffler of Leffler Commodities. Coming up, Don Graff, CFP, the money tracker, TikTok, and bad investment advice.
Oh, Don.
Don's
getting hip.
I'm Jean Marie Laskus. I'm a journalist. I spent my career helping Americans understand the lives of other Americans. Coal miners, gun shop clerks, staffers in the White House mailroom. In my new podcast, Cement City, I tell the story of an entire town. A dying town that you have absolutely no reason to care about. But trust me, you will. Listen to and follow Cement City, an Odyssey original podcast in partnership with Cement City Productions. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Up here. Steve at 10 in the morning. Steve at 10 in the morning, KNSS 646 here on this Wednesday morning, 52 degrees. Three big things. Union Machinists Signal Textron Aviation in Wichita, they're ready to talk about a new contract. Enrollment in Wichita Public Schools is up for the first time since the pandemic. Thousands evacuate the Florida Gulf Coast as Hurricane Milton approaches. Three big things, Steve and Ted on KNSS.
Cordell and Cordell traffic cameras show that those traffic volumes are starting to pick up. Heaviest traffic we're seeing right now, northbound on I-135, down by 47th Street South. Some pretty heavy traffic starting to form there. Traffic update from 98.7 at 1330 KNSS. I'm Jad Chambers.
Sunny with haze today and a high of 87 degrees. 20% chance for rain tonight, the overnight low 59. Thursday, 20% chance for rain again. Tomorrow's high, 86 degrees. Clear sky now. East wind at 3 miles per hour, 52 degrees. At Wichita Severe Weather Station, 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. A man accused of murder could be granted a retrial 20 years after being convicted.
I'm Gianna Gelosi with your Fox True Crime Minute. A legal win for Scott Peterson 20 years after he was convicted of murdering his wife and unborn son. A judge presiding over the case greenlit a discovery process. That code allows the defendant access to materials, quote, in possession of the prosecution and law enforcement authorities to which the same defendant would have been entitled to at the time of trial. Whether Peterson will be granted a retrial depends on how the discovery process proceeds. In 2004, Peterson was convicted of murdering his wife, Lacey, and their unborn son, Connor. Lacey was 8 months pregnant and vanished on Christmas Eve 2002. 4 months later, Lacey's body washed ashore a few miles away from where Peterson claimed he had gone fishing that day. Peterson, who bleached his hair after the murder and was later arrested carrying his brother's passport in San Diego, was sentenced to life without parole. The Los Angeles Innocence Project took on Peterson's case in January, arguing that new evidence would show that he did not commit the murders. There's more on the story at foxnews.com. Subscribe to the Fox True Crime Podcast with Emily Campagno. I'm Gianna Gelosi with your Fox True Crime Minute.
And up
close on Wall Street Tuesday.
Stocks ending higher after Monday's sell-off as investors shift their attention to the upcoming third quarter earnings season and key inflation data, which could offer some clues on the Fed's path of rate cuts. Tech was the best performing sector while energy lagged as oil prices fell. U.S. listed shares of Chinese companies fell after Beijing's economic planning agency failed to announce any new major stimulus plans. The Dow winners today, Home Depot, Microsoft, and Salesforce, the Dow decliners, Caterpillar, American Express, and United Health Group. The Dow rising 126 points, the Nasdaq higher by 259, S&P 500 up 55. Hillary Barsky, Fox News.
TikTok and bad investment advice. Don Grant, GFP?
CFP, Certified Financial Planner Practitioner. Yes.
Don, tell us about the TikTok.
Well, let me tell you about it. Morning, Steve and Ted.
Morning, sir.
Well, you know, I participate in several social media. Heck, my company, Savior Wealth, uses different platforms to educate clients and others about, you know, personal finance and investing. It may seem obvious, but social media is also full of bad financial advice because we're given the good stuff. What's being called FinTok or financial TikTok is one of the most popular sources of financial information and advice, particularly among Gen Z investment, people, obviously, and millennials also listen to it as well. Investment firm Edelman reports that nearly 30% of those getting advice from FinTok have fallen for financial guidance that was false or misleading. And about 20% have fallen for misleading financial content multiple times. Generation Zers, or Zoomers as they're called, who were born in the late 90s up to around 2010, are about five times more likely than adults in their 40s and older to get financial advice from social media. It's good to have such an accessible source of financial advice and tips, but there is also room for bad information and even fraud. Several pieces of advice that I ran across are just plain dumb. One tells their 1 million followers to copy the investments of millionaires. Heck, it worked for them, right? Geesh. Every investor has a different risk tolerance and need for income or growth. Wealthy investors can afford to lose in a downturn. Their trading costs may be much less because of greater volume, and they may invest for entirely different reasons. And of course, then there's the tax implication as well. Well, here are a few more. Cryptocurrency will make you wealthy. Retirement accounts are a waste of time. Put it all in gold and silver. Day trading is the quickest way to get rich. Or use life insurance to buy real estate. Well, these may sound logical, but every investment strategy needs to fit the investor's specific needs. Before taking any advice, vet the source by considering the source of the information and their motivation. Look at their qualifications, and if it seems too good to be true, you know the answer. Trust that it is. And, of course, if you have any questions, you can give us a call over at Saber Wealth. The number is 267-0600.
Today is National Stop Bullying Day.
Good day.
Bringing together students, faculty, and parents to end bullying. Of course, you're talking about bullying of youngsters in schools. There are all kinds of bullying in this world.
Yep.
Have you ever been bullied?
As a kid, I'm sure it happened.
Do you have any specifics that you remember? Because I don't. I can't. I can't remember being bullied. Maybe you were a bully.
I do remember one kid who, scrappy little guy. He was known for fighting. So he had this reputation.
Well, he had a chip on his shoulder, yeah.
And I remember he pushed me once. And then it happened a couple of times. And then my buddy Peter Gannon said, you know what? You just got to nail him. And I did.
Okay.
And he never bothered me again.
Okay.
How about it's the old Brady Bunch tactic?
Yeah,
yeah.
Fight back, man.
Well, it works, and it, of course I was conflicted because I had a mom who was like a peacenik, and she said, "You know what? You never fight violence with violence. Yeah. Be the bigger man." And so I did that at first, and I thought, "You know what? This ain't working."
Turn the other cheek.
And not that that should be applied in every case.
How about that, Ted? Biblically, how many cheeks do we have to turn before we decide to punch back?
We have four.
Jesus said to forgive your enemies 70 times, seven times. So
there you go, Don.
Then I was wrong.
Turn your cheek again and again. Or you can fight back.
You're human. Heck, what the heck?
Yeah.
I don't remember as a kid, a youngster, even through junior high, there was a guy in high school that he just wanted to pick on me.
Yeah.
He was, he had tone in his voice. He never really threatened to punch me or anything like that. And he was just a jerk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You run into people like that.
And I don't know if he's a bully.
Is he part of the group that you guys have cocktails with at the Monarch every week?
No, but I have seen him in the past few years.
Did you punch him at old high school functions?
No, he's a different breed of cat.
Huh.
Really?
Very, very nice to me. Very nice.
Yeah. He probably was all along. You never know what was going on at home.
Like,
you never know.
I had a feeling there's something at home.
Yeah.
That was doing that. But anyway, I don't remember bullying people. I'll tell you this. There are all kinds of bullying, including, when you talk about social media.
Cyberbullying. Yeah.
There have been times when I've had emails from people that were just horrendous.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
A lot of, several people have questioned whether I ought to be on the radio at all, ever.
Well, yeah.
And accused me of everything there. Called me every name there is, but had nothing to back it up to say why. These are the cowards of the keyboard out there.
Well, yeah. They disagree with one thing you said. I mean, that happened in TV for me. I had a couple of people write letters, and some of them were threatening.
These people won't even be specific about it. They just,
Yeah.
They're just a turd,
Right.
But go on and on. So there's bullying, but don't let him bully you. Just delete him. Don't let him be on your Facebook, whatever.
Yeah.
Right?
I hear you.
Yep. So, should we punch him back or we let him? What did he do in the Brady Bunch? Was it Greg or who?
Well, so I don't remember. One of the boys, maybe Peter.
Yeah.
Somebody's getting bullied.
Yeah.
And the lesson was, hey, you've got to
stand up.
For one time, you've got to stand up and let that person know you're not going to take it all every time.
And you got to be ready for one thing. You get your lights punched out.
Exactly.
That could happen.
But
I mean, that's the story of the Karate Kid.
Absolutely.
It's the plot of a lot of movies and TV shows. Yeah. If you're getting beat up, you got to stand up to that person.
I know that Ted has patterned most of his adult life after Greg Brady. He's in the Brady Bunch.
That's partly true.
Well, Greg Brady was a leader.
There's always a lesson in there.
Or Chip in My Three Sons.
National
Stop
Bullying Day. All right, thank you, guys. 6:56, Steve and Ted, 7 o'clock coming up. Top of the hour news with Steve and Ted. Florida preparing for Hurricane Milton. Wichita Public School enrollment is up. That's on the way. Steve and Ted in the morning here on KNSS.
Securities offered through Kestra Investment Services, LLC, member FINRA SIPC. Investment advisory services offered through Kestra Advisory Services, LLC, an affiliate of Kestra IS. Saber Wealth is not affiliated with Kestra IS or Kestra AS.
This is Jean Marie Laskus with the podcast Cement City. So there's this election coming up, a big one, and one guy's been indicted. People are talking voter fraud. Democracy itself is on the line. Sound familiar? Well, this isn't that election. This one is in Denora, Pennsylvania, a dying town in the middle of nowhere, where I bought a house and stayed for 3 years. Listen to and follow Cement City, an Odyssey original podcast in partnership with Cement City Productions, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.